Hey everyone, I'm Nurse Kelly, the Chief Nurse Advocate for Wanderley, and you're listening to another episode of The Happy Traveler, where we discuss everything in the travel healthcare industry. And today we have a really awesome guest. She's a NICU nurse, NICU traveler. Her name is Kylie Nelson, and I am so excited to talk to her because we know her through our other friends, Leah Scrubs in a Suitcase and M Chang RN on Instagram. So she's been all throughout Seattle with our other traveler influencers that we love and our Wanderley ambassadors. So we're super excited to have her join the Wanderley family and have you all get to know her. So let's do that right now. First of all, Kylie, I just want you to talk about yourself. Tell everybody, you know, who you are, what your hobbies are, what you like to do. And then can you also discuss, you know, your journey to becoming a nurse and a traveler?
Well, hi, Kelly. I'm really excited to be on here. I'm pretty nervous, but I am more excited than nervous. So I am currently a travel nurse. I am based in Seattle at the time. I've been a NICU nurse for four to five years. I kind of lose track after a while. But I've been a travel nurse for 2.5 years. So really my journey to becoming a nurse, you know, I was never one of those people that grew up knowing I wanted to be a nurse. In fact, I had really no clue what I wanted to do. I realized that I excelled in science and biology, so I knew maybe something in the medical field. But it wasn't until I was a senior in college that all of a sudden I was like, oh crap, what's next? Like, what do I do? I ended up like taking the GRE and I thought, oh, maybe I'll go to PA school. It turns out that I did not want to go to PA school. So I applied to some nursing programs in Atlanta, and I ended up getting accepted to an accelerated program, which embarrassingly enough, I did not realize that it was an accelerated program that bridged into my master's until about 1 month in, when I was talking to somebody and they were asking me what I was going to get my master's in. And I just like looked at her like, what are you talking about? But it wasn't until I was about halfway through my accelerated program that I still like didn't know if being a nurse was for me. You know, I kind of struggled with it. I didn't really find like my passion for it. It wasn't until I was placed in the NICU on accident. You had to like sign up to do intensive care work, and I was like accidentally put in there one day. And immediately when I stepped onto the floor, like I just knew that NICU nursing was for me. You know, I kind of joke like sometimes I don't feel like a nurse. I think like people who do peds and adults like are amazing. And I always think, how in the world do you do that? Like, I feel like I can only do NICU, and that's really where my passion lies. And that's when I realized, okay, this is for me as long as I can like stay in the NICU.
Ooh, I love that so, so, so much. I'm so glad you brought that up too, because I'm sure there are so many people out there who might have similar feelings. Maybe they started off in a specialty or a unit that they just don't love, and they could possibly be considering leaving the entire profession. And so your story can hopefully super give them hope. I really hope so. That's amazing. And I know that on your Instagram, and you and I have chatted as well, you discuss a ton about preventing nurse burnout. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, you preventing it through traveling. So what is your experience with, you know, burnout? What does that mean to you? And how are you preventing that, you know, for yourself?
So, I guess I ended up, again, I just wanted to be in the NICU. So I ended up applying to jobs, all over the US, but only NICU positions. And I landed a job at this great hospital in Kansas City. And I was a staff nurse for about a year when I kind of just, at the time, I would not have labeled it burnout. I don't know. I did not know what I was experiencing, but I just remember like dreading going to work. But it was so bizarre because I loved work. You know, I still loved being a nurse, but I was dreading work. I was having a hard time outside of work. I remember looking at, you know, the nurses that had been there for 30 plus years and just thinking like, how in the world do they do this? Like, is this weird that I'm already like tired of this. And again, I wouldn't have labeled it burnout at the time, but I loved my unit. I loved the nurses that worked there, but I just knew like, I can't do this for 12-hour days, holidays, weekends for 30 plus years, you know? And I was also hungry for knowledge because I was brand new. So I think a little bit of it was picking up a lot of extra days and working a lot of shifts. But I just knew like something was going on. And now that I kind of look back, I guess like to me, over the past 4 or 5 years, like I feel like burnout can kind of affect every nurse a little bit differently. You know, not only is it like you're dreading going to work, but more so like on your days off. Like I have some weeks still where I feel so tired from work that, you know, I can't get out of bed and I kind of struggle with that. But I think a majority of burnout is kind of the lack of desire to show up and go above and beyond for your patients. And that's kind of when I realized like, okay, something has to change. You know, this is not like I need to like show up to work and start to do, you know, like the very, very, very best that I can for everybody.
Definitely. I love that so much. I absolutely agree with you. And burnout is such a tricky subject to discuss too, because there's so many, I think, different levels of burnout and varying mm-hmm. degrees of like the ways that it can affect you, whether you are a brand new nurse, whether you're experiencing bullying, whether you're a veteran nurse that's been doing this like forever. And so it's just kind of like you're truly burnt out from just doing it for so long. I think it depends on specialties and units. And I think you have a very unique perspective about it. How do you sustain preventing nurse burnout as you're traveling? So I know it's kind of like we go somewhere every 13 weeks, but how are you making sure that you're not going to get sick of, you know, even travel nursing?
Right. So after I kind of figured out, you know, it's been a year, something's going on, I was always aware of travel nursing. But it wasn't, you know, until the whole cliche, you date a boy, he breaks up with you. And then I was like, okay, it's time to get out of here. That's when I really was like, okay, I need to be a travel nurse. I can't like be in Kansas City anymore. I want to experience, you know, different hospitals and meet new people. So I, headed home to Nebraska to kind of, heal. And I took my first assignment there and really reflecting on what I wanted. And while I was a travel nurse in Nebraska, I realized, okay, there still has to be more out there. So I applied for a volunteer job in Macedonia with Project Hope, which I got, and that was amazing. So I flew to Macedonia to help out in the NICU. You know, they were expanding their unit and they just needed a little bit more education. So I was there for 8 weeks by myself, and that's really where my love of travel blossomed. So while I was like working in Macedonia, I was traveling solo throughout Europe on the weekends. And, you know, that's when I realized that I was experiencing burnout in the past, because I realized that although I was working just as much, if not more hours in the hospital, I felt more revitalized because I was truly taking care of myself outside of the hospital, you know, by traveling and learning new cultures, and all of that was really just making me a better nurse. So fast forward 8 weeks later, I realized, okay, I can't go back to being a staff nurse yet, because that, as crazy as it sounds, like, because we only work 3 days a week, I just felt like that's still not enough time off to curb my personal burnout. So I decided, okay, I'm going to continue to be a travel nurse where I can take these big chunks of time off between assignments. And that's kind of what I've been doing for the past 2.5 years. I feel really lucky, because actually last year I was able to take a solo trip through Europe and Asia that lasted 17 weeks. And it was just like such a life epiphany and just an awesome experience all around.
Yeah, I wanted to for sure ask you about that. And I think not only do I want to know, you know, your most favorite experience that you had throughout all of that. But I also want to know, how did you plan it? Like, what advice do you have for people that are going to be traveling by themselves, you know, for safety purposes, for housing? Like, can you kind of go into detail too about that adventure as a whole? And then, you know, what some of your favorite parts were and, you know, some of the things that you learned about yourself through that?
Oh, that's a good one. Yes. So I really dipped my toes in with the Macedonia thing because I was only traveling solo on the weekend. So I kind of dipped my toes in and I realized, okay, I want to really go for this and do like a big, big solo trip. And honestly, I just planned like the first 2 weeks and then I kind of just winged it from there. You know, I followed basic safety. Like I never stayed out too late. I didn't drink too much. I carried pepper spray with me, just little stuff like that. But I truly never, ever felt unsafe. You know, I made sure people knew where I was and my family, stuff like that. So as far as safety and planning, I felt pretty safe and I just kind of planned as I went. I think the cool thing about solo travel is that you're never really alone. Like, you can be if you want, but there's tons of solo travelers out there. And I found that I was more approachable alone. You know, I made a ton of friends that way. And, you know, I had some really cool experiences with some of the other people that I met and that I still keep in touch with. I think that that's probably the best thing about solo travel is that you're not alone if you don't want to be. And the second best thing is that you can do whatever you want. I remember I was in Austria and I just had this really crazy pizza craving, which is like so silly, but I was like, I want pizza and I want to eat it in Italy. And I booked a ticket to Naples and I sat at this little pizza restaurant. I can't even remember the name of it, but I wish I could because it was amazing. And I spent $250 eating pizza and drinking wine. And I just remember thinking, like, one, this is absurd, but two, this is so cool that I can have this experience. You know, if I was alone, like, would the other person have said, you're crazy, we're not doing that, you know? So I think, like, not only is it the people you meet along the way, but just like the authentic experiences that you can kind of create for yourself if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, first of all, I love pizza, and I literally love that you just said that because you and I are like spirit animals. I feel like that is something I would absolutely do. I love actually even just now going to restaurants by myself because you have time to get away from everything and you can eat at your own pace. You don't have to have conversation. Like, you can just kind of enjoy it and get away from the annoyances of the world.
Yes. The only bad part was like, you want to try everything on the menu. So when I'm alone, it's like, that's where the $250 came in. I was just like, oh, bring this and bring that. And my eyes are always bigger than my stomach.
Oh, absolutely. I can barely eat anything, and I order like 17 appetizers everywhere I go. But that's just part of it, sis. That's just part of the fun. Well, do you have any place in mind that you might want to go solo travel next? Like, have you heard anything from other travelers where you're like, okay, I want to try that? Or are you just kind of going to, you know, play it by ear and whatever comes your way?
Love visiting places that I feel like are more off the beaten track. So I have this crazy dream to like spend time in Bhutan. You know, honestly, I can like visualize where it is on a map, but I don't really know that much about it. But I would love to go there. I'm actually planning another trip come October where I'll be going to Jordan, Romania, and Latvia. And so I'm pretty excited about that because I also feel like those are a little bit more off the beaten track. So I'm excited to see kind of like what that holds, that experience, but not 17 weeks. I don't think I can last that long again.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's so long. Oh, that's super cool. Okay. Well, I've got three more like quick questions for you. Just rapid fire, maybe like one sentence each, and then we can wrap it up. But the first one was, what advice do you have for somebody who's maybe never traveled alone outside of the country and wants to just go for it. What do you have, what can you kind of give us about being a NICU traveler specifically? And then what advice do you have for a nurse experiencing burnout? So if you want to just go one by one, but just rapid fire, just like what first comes to mind, what do you think?
So first question, I would say you don't want to look back on your life in 10 years and think, I wish I would have done that 10 years ago. As far as what the second question was, advice for being a NICU traveler?
Yes.
You know, just be confident in your skills, but know when you need to ask questions and be okay with that. And third, to anyone who's experiencing nurse burnout, I would tell you to find what you love and pursue that with everything you have, because when you start to make yourself a priority outside of work and take care of yourself the same way you take care of your own patients, you will start to be a better nurse at work.
Fantastic, Kylie. Awesome. All right, sis, well, you were just a fantastic guest, and I think you gave everybody a ton of great advice about not only traveling solo, but nurse burnout and just all of the things that you, you know, feel passionately about. So thank you for doing that. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
Well, I guess where you can find me. I am on Instagram at Passports and Preemies. I'm on Facebook also at Passports and Preemies. I am on Pinterest, Passports and Preemies. I have a website that is www.passportsandpreemies.com. And lastly, I do have a private Facebook group for healthcare professionals to look for travel advice and tips and everything like that. And you can find that under Facebook groups. Again, Passports and Preemies. Travel community. Yes, that's what it is.
Love it. And we absolutely need as many travel communities as possible. We tell people all the time that are really nervous to take their first assignment that these kinds of groups are what get you through. So awesome, sis. Well, thanks so much for jumping on with me.
Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh, my pleasure. Okay, everybody, that's Kylie Nelson. She is a NICU traveler. You can find her at Passports and Preemies. All across the social media boards. Again, I'm Nurse Kelly. I'm the Chief Nurse Advocate for Wanderly. That's another episode of the Happy Traveler podcast, and we will see you guys next week.